It's the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet, the show that gives you all the short, snappy tips for the weekend's action. Weatherby, Ascot, Downroll and Del Mar are on the agenda this week. A really busy week of racing coming up. And I'm joined by a top panel of tipsters. We've got Johnny Pearson and Harry Wilson. And no pressure, Brett Williams, but a 10-1 winner and 12-1 winner from Ed on last week's show. So you've got to deliver this week. We've got something for everyone though, Brett.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cracking weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. Obviously, we had the Champions Day at Ascot a couple of weeks ago. We had that little sort of appetizer at Cheltenham last Friday and Saturday. But the jump season really does step into gear this weekend. The Charlie Hill Chase, always a race. You know, it does produce future stars and those proper stalwarts of the chasing game. And of course, if you're not done with the flat racing, there's also the small match of the Breeders' Cup from Dalmar. So as you said, there really is something for everyone.
Yeah, plenty of offers from Unibet on all the ITV races, I think bar one this weekend. So Brett will be bringing you all of the offers across the show. Let's get straight into it then, guys. And we'll kick off at Weatherby with the Charlie Hall Chase, a grade two contest over 3 miles, 257 there at Weatherby. And Unibet's market currently has Protector at as the 85-40 favourite, Hewick's 100-30, Pick Door, he's 7-2, Jello is 4-1, The Real Whacker 13-2, and Galore is 16-1. Johnny Pearson, is it too much of a surprise to see Hewick turn up in this race this season?
Not overly. I think they're sort of targeting the 3 mile chase division as they have been last few seasons. And, you know, interestingly, he had a run in a hurdle at Furlers last week or 2 weeks ago, even. And that was, I mean, as a well below his best, but he just won it as easily as he liked. So he's going to be fit and ready to run here. But I think he's got a bit to find on form with Protectorat, who's, in my mind, the most likely winner. You look at his form last season, especially at Aintree, you know, second to John Bond, over 2.5 miles, very good. That win at Windsor, where he beat Jello by 23 lengths, was so impressive. And I think he's the best horse in the race, so he's the one I want to be with him.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more with that. And that, yeah, second to John Bond at Aintree was superb. Harry Wilson, any agreement there?
Not from me today, Sam. I looked at this race on Tuesday and the word I wrote down was horrible, because it's a race full of good horses, and to be fair, any of them could win. I did like the fact that Hugh had a prep run, but I'm going to take them all on the Pick Door. He's untried at 3 mile, which is the only concern that I have with him. I have more pressing concerns with the rest of them. He does have to give £6 away to Protectorat and Hewick, which might prove a bit too much. But I think he loves good ground. I think he might even improve 3 mile. I've got a problem with Hewick going left-handed. I think he jumps badly left-handed. And Protectorat's been pretty poor in his last two reappearances. So I think Pick Door, he's the most solid at the prices.
Yeah, Pick Door, he's 7-2 currently with Unibet. Where's the money been going, Brett, in this race? Has Protectorat seemed fairly solid at the top of the market?
Yeah, I mean, he's been steady away. Pick Dory was much closer to him at the top of the market, but that sort of just eased out now, and Pick Dory's drifted out a little bit. And we will be top industry price every single runner in this race, so you're definitely going to get the best odds. But I agree with everything that Harry said. I'm pretty keen on Pick Dory. I think it could be interesting stepping up to this trip for the first time. Obviously, the only concern is that £6 Group 1 penalty for winning the Ascot Chase last year. So that is a bit of a concern. Bearing in mind, of course, he's rated lower than Protectorat, so he's not well off at the weights at all. But, you know, Paul Nicholls has got a great record in this race. If you look at the Roll of Honour, they've won it for the Masters of Ditchy. You know, I think Surname, Brave Man's Game, Silvanaco Conti, Seymour Business. So it's a, you know, it's a real good Roll of Honour for Paul Nicholls, and he wouldn't be running a horse here if he didn't think he'd have a good chance. And as Harry's also alluded to, he does love good ground. Whether he's going to be an out-and-out stare over the 3 miles on soft ground sort of come the middle of January is questionable, but I think on good ground, 3 miles, first run of the season, might be the time to catch him. And so just to reiterate, we will be top industry price every single runner.
Yeah, it's top industry price on, I think it's midday on Saturday, Unibet top industry price on the Charlie Hall Chase. We've got two votes for Pick Doherty, two votes for Protectorat. Let us know down in the comments who you fancy in the big one at Weatherby. We move on now to 222, which is the 3 mile Bet365 hurdle. It's a grade two contest. And we've got a fair field here as well. We've got a strong leader at the top of the market, 6-4. Potter's Charm is 15-8. Take No Chances, 5-1. Winter Fog, 7-1. and Doddy the Great is a 10 to 1 shot. Harry Wilson, you said that you wrote one word down for the Charlie Hall and it was horrible. What was the one word for this race?
This one was difficult. because the favourite strong leader obviously has the best form. Like that run at Aintree and like he won it the year before. He's pretty solid. But can you trust him at that sort of price? Like I just think he was a bit awkward on his first start last year, beating Monmorel, who's no great shakes in the staying division. And I don't know, I probably prefer him on a bit softer ground as well. So it's another one I'm going to take on the favourite. And I sort of landed on Take No Chances. Just the fact that she's had a prep run for this. She's another one who's a bit unexposed at 3 miles. She's mostly campaigned at 2, 2.5 last year. She beat Cargese at Ascot in January, which is a really strong piece of form. She was actually tried over 3 miles last year. And she had form figures of 2, 1, 1, 4, I think. So she has no problem staying the trip. I just think with that run behind her, she might just be a bit fitter than the first two in the market.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's good form. I mean, looking at that, you say that race with Ascot with Cargese. Cargese is definitely one to watch this season. David Jennings has put this horse up as one to follow. And the form behind Lossy Mouth as well is really strong. We could see some improvement from Take No Chances. Brett, I know you potentially have one in this race. Who did you like?
Yeah, I'm going to sort of see as if I'm just following everything that Harry says, but I agree with everything he said about Take No Chances. Strong leader, I'm just thinking he might probably come on for his first run. Obviously, Potter's Chums having his first start since having a wind operation, so that may just eke out a little bit more from him stepping up in trip. And it just brings you down to Take No Chances. You said she has had that run. She was actually entered in the Mayor's hurdle on this same card. So I think it's interesting that Connections have opted to run her in this. That's got to obviously be quite significant. And I wouldn't have any worries about the distance, as Harry's already alluded to. She's won twice over the trip. She's a point-to-point winner as well. So, you know, there's no reason to suggest that you know, this won't end up being her optimal. We will be price boosting a runner in this race. So make sure you check out Unibet socials for the price boost in this race. I should just say, Sam, I was at Newbury on Monday. Nicky Henderson galloped a few horses there on the track, including Doddy the Great, who worked with the likes of Excello, Ginny's Destiny, and one other whose name I forgot. Oh, Jingo Blue. Worked really well, the four of them in a nice group together. And I think he was so pleased with Doddy the Great, he thought, well, actually, I'm going to enter him. So I stood next to him as he actually entered Doddy the Great in this race. So that could be a bit of a tip in itself. Obviously, he's a sort of quite a biggish price. I think he's around sort of 12, 14 to 1, isn't he? But he could be quite interesting, bearing in mind that Nicky Henderson thought he worked that well, that he's going to enter him in the race and let him take his chance. But I think realistically, the fact she's had a run, Take No Chances could be the one to chance with in this.
Okay, yeah, Take No Chances, 2 votes there. I don't need to go to Johnny Pearson. I know these guys are quite keen on this horse, and Johnny, you haven't really got a selection. But
No, you're wrong.
I was wrong.
Absolutely wrong. There's only one place to look here. I don't know how much racing you've watched the last few weeks, but Sean Bowen and Ollie Murphy can do very little wrong. They've got the best horse in the race, with the best form in the race, the best jockey in the race, trainer is flying. Easy as can be, strong leader wins.
Wow. Well, I've been shut down there. Two votes for Take No Chances, and then Johnny's come in, shut me down, and said the favourite just goes and wins this. I mean, the form of Sean Bowen and Ollie Murphy is obviously fairly strong, and there's been plenty said on that with the back-to-back four-timers from him last week. But, yeah, 6-4 currently favourite. You can get a price boost with Unibet. Do remember that Brett's given you all the details there. For that, right, we'll move on to the next race, which is it's the Mayor's Hurdle. It's a 2 mile race, the 150 at Weatherby, and it's a free runner event. Golden Ace is the 5-2 on favourite. Katira's 100-30, and Dysel Enos is 6-1. I'm expecting a little bit of silence here in terms of selections, but is anyone going to be against the favourite Golden Ace? And we move straight over to Brett then, who will say that we're probably going to have like some punters might want to, you know, look at the distances for the Unibet Champion Hurdle winner. It's weird saying that she's a Unibet Champion Hurdle winner, but look, she is. There will be markets for this, will there, on the day?
Yeah, as you said, she's odds on at the minute, and that's obviously going to be the way she'll jump off as well. But yeah, they go onto our website on the morning, and there will be lots of specials. I've just spoken to our trainers. There'll be lots of initiatives to get people involved if you want to have a bet, of course. And she's, you know, you never know. She'll win this probably. She'll win it well, and her price may just shorten for the Unibet Champion Hurdle, for which at the moment, she's 25-1, which, you know, might not be bad value at the moment. In a picture, obviously we're way 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 out to March, but it's still a very very open shape, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, I'm not sure it will fall into. She'll get lucky for it to fall into her lap like she did this year, to be fair. But we'll just have to wait and see. But we see her reappear on Saturday at Weatherby. We do check out Unibet for any of the specials in that race. Anything else at Weatherby? Spoke to the guys before the show. And Brett, you've just got another extra one just to add in before we go on to the next races.
Yeah, there's a good little 2 mile handicap hurdle at 3:30. Looks really competitive, but there's a horse of Alan King's called Don't Mind If I Do, which I think could be quite progressive. I mean, Alan doesn't put his horses in at the deep end unless he thinks they're capable of acquitting themselves well. And this horse very, very lightly raced. He was second in the bumper, the big Goff's bumper at Newbury behind Regent Stroll. Place in a maid, and then went and won at Wincanton. Handicap debut here off a mark of 120, I think, could be quite significant. And, you know, as a lot of people know, Alan sort of has just reduced his jump string down a little bit. So he's only going to be trailing horses that he thinks are going to be the Saturday horse. He doesn't want to be running around, you know, sort of taunting on a Tuesday. He wants the big guns running. So I just think Don't Mind If I Do. He's been backed as well. Could be interesting in that 3:30 at Weatherby.
Don't Mind If I Do, then one to know in the 3:30. There is so much action on ITV on Saturdays. You don't need to have a bet in every single race. Only gamble with money you can afford to. That's the MO here at the Racing Post and at Unibet. So, yeah, lots of action going on. This week's VT that we go to before we get into our next race, a little bit of a special one. Unibet on Wednesday marked 2,000 races of sponsorship at Kempton Park. And here's a little bit more on that.
Kempton Park, home to racing's unforgettable moments. And for many of them, a trusted partner by our side, Unibet. Today we celebrate a milestone. 2,000 races sponsored by Unibet at Kempton Park. A partnership built on passion and a shared love of racing. It began in 2017, when Boubert Dare became the first Unibet-sponsored winner at Kempton Park, claiming the Grade 1 Christmas Hurdle. A fitting start to a story that continues to this day. Since then, Unibet races have crowned National Hunt heroes. Altior, Politolog and Frodon. Names that have thrilled racegoers, lifted hearts, and left a lasting mark on racing history. And on the all-weather, stars like Enable, Kalpana, Mostadaf and Rebel's Romance have carried the Unibet banner to glory, bringing world-class racing to Kempton all year round. Unibet support has helped us deliver unforgettable moments, race after race, season after season. Today we celebrate not just 2,000 races, but a partnership built on trust, excitement and a shared love of the sport. Thank you, Unibet, for your continued support, and here's to the next chapter in Kempton Park's history.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart here alongside Harry Wilson, Johnny Pearson and Brett Williams from Unibet. And Brett, a fantastic achievement for Unibet on Wednesday, 2,000 races. It's something to celebrate.
It is, yeah. You know, you look at some of the horses that have won races sponsored by Unibet, and, you know, I tell you what, it is quite an illustrious roll of honour. You know, Enable won the Unibet September Stakes. Kalpana, of course, she won races for us as well in the same colours. Boubert Dare on the jumps, Altior, Frodon. You know, it is a pretty good list, and Unibet, you know, real pride to be sponsoring those races at Kempton, and of course at 26 other tracks in the UK. That's worth mentioning as well. I think we're going to add Hexham to our cross country list, and we're sponsoring there. I think it's on the 7th of November. We've got two races sponsoring there, so that's a new track to add to our roster. And no, let's hope for 2,000 more.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And yeah, if you haven't headed down to Kempton Park on a Wednesday night under the lights and the weather, it is a really fantastic evening. So do recommend doing so. Let's get into the rest of the racing that we're going to cover on ITV. And we go to Ascot next. The 3:45 is where we're going to start, which is the 3 mile Sodexo Live Gold Cup Handicap Chase. And this looks like a really open race. The Changing Man's currently topping the market at 3-1. Henry's Friend is 9-2. Neon Moon is 7-1. Baloo for Nicky Henderson, Nico de Boinville here from Brett on this horse, 15-2. Blow Your Wad is 15-2. Le Coq Hardy is also 15-2. Marble Sands 8-1, double figures about the rest of the field. I say that we're going to get a little bit of a word on Baloo, Brett, hoping that you actually have had some sort of word. What do we know?
Well, all I can tell you is he's in training and he's running until the ground changes. As soon as it goes soft, he's going to go back to Dash Grange Stud for a holiday and then come back for a spring campaign. So whilst the ground at the moment is like it is, he's there to take his chance. He won, I think, actually at this meeting last year, didn't he, Baloo? The novice chase, I think he beat Bad, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He'll like the ground. He's been well backed as well. And obviously, Nicola de Boinville rides. This is a cracker little race, isn't it? We will be paying four places each way in this, which just makes it a little bit easier because, you know, you can make a case for quite a few of them. I quite like the changing man. He's got some strong form in the book. He won the Reynolds down here last year. That's obviously pretty smart. He was placed in a grade one at Aintree, second in the Ultima, not badly handicapped. So for me, and you know, what is an open race, I think perhaps the changing man might be the one to side with. But just one horse we should just give a mention to, he will win a big one one day, is Blow Your Wad. I have blown quite a few quid on this horse before, but he's going to win a big one sooner or later. He's had a wind up, he's got the tongue tie, he's got the visor, he's got the kitchen sink, he's got everything thrown at him. So you never know, it could be the day for Blow Your Wad on Saturday. But I'm going to go against him and go for the changing man.
A change of man, then. We've got extra places from Unibet in this race here. And there were smiles from Johnny Pearson as you taught us about Blow Your Wad. I don't know whether this is your fancy, Johnny, but who do you like in this?
Blow Your Wad is very much the horse who I thought would have a very good chance of winning this race. You know, you've got a lot of question marks. He's had his wind up. He's got the tongue tie and the visor for the first time. And he's been a bit disappointed. But he's also, you look, he's been running in grade one races at Aintree, you know, in around twice last season, and both those were after New Year. At Aintree, you know, he was a long way beaten, but he's running a grade one. He's come down a bit in the handicap from his peak of 145. It's 142. Tom Lacey's been, you know, his horses are in all right form, and at the prices, he should be a shorter price than he is sort of what I decided here, and I'm willing to take a chance. You know, if he runs well here, you're not going to get this price about him again, and I wouldn't like to miss it.
There's an actual vote there for Blow Your Wad. Brett definitely will be having a couple of quid on that as a saver then by the Sandbigs on Saturday. Harry Wilson, who do you fancy here?
I'm leaning towards Marble Sands here, Sam. He actually reappeared on the flat at Goodwood, and he ran a cracking race. He only got beaten neck. That was a career best on the flat in terms of RPRs. And he prepped for last season in a similar manner. But he fared a lot better this time than he did this time around last year. On his first jump start last year, he won the Colin Parker, which is really solid form. And I think this might be the time to catch him. He's very unexposed at 3 mile. He's had a couple of goes early in his career, ran the Kauto Star. And he ran in the rehearsal chase as a novice. He came third in the rehearsal chase, having been hung out with the washing out the back and staying on for third. But I think this might be the time to catch him, and this has definitely been the plan. So I think now is the time to catch Marble Sands.
Okay, that's Marble Sands then for Harry Wilson. That's Blow Your Wad for Johnny Pearson. And it's the changing man with a little tentative vote towards Blow Your Wad as well for Brett Williams. Remember, extra places there in the Sodexo Live Gold Cup Handicap Chase, which is the feature there at Ascot. Their big other handicap chase they've got there is the 205, which is the Grundon Waste Management Handicap Chase over 2 mile, 1 furlong, where Load of Sud is the 3-1 favourite, Master Doors 11-2, Boot Hill 6-1, Special Cadeaux 8-1, Sam Bree and General Medranu, they're 17-2, 10-1 about Isard Dairy, and looking at Biggers, the rest in here. To you first, Mr. Wilson, who do you like?
Yeah, I've landed on General Medranu here for Emma Lavelle. She started the season in fine form, 35% as of 2 weeks ago on Tuesday. It's 27% now, so she's still going well. I just think catching him first time out is the way to go. He's got reappearance form figures since chasing of 1-2. And last season, he ran into Dr. TJ Eckelberg on his reappearance. And that horse ended the season £16 higher. And he also confirmed that this mark wasn't beyond him when he bumped into Petit Tonnerre at Doncaster later in the season. He's £1 lower here, and Petit Tonnerre is £12 worse off today. With Emma Lovell in such good form, I think General Medrano might just be the one.
Okay, General Medrano then for Harry Wilson, the Elite Racing colours there. Johnny Pearson, I know you've got one in this race.
Yeah, I mean, I might be losing my marbles a bit here. I'm not entirely sure. Well, I thought Shake Your Tail Feather was interesting for Dan Skelton. Harry Aitken's claimed 7, and okay, he won not the best race last time at Kelso by 7 lengths, and he's been put up £9 for it. But I got the impression there's still more to come. He's an improving horse. She obviously wants good ground. She's been on the go through the summer a little bit, but not over racing. The form behind Bally's Set has been franked. He actually ran very well in the American Grand National the other week, for those who didn't get a chance to watch that. She's definitely got a bit to find on figures. But what, 15, 16 to 1, something like that? I think she can spring a bit of a surprise. An improving six-year-old, I think it might be worth taking a chance on her. I think there's more to come from her this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shake Tail Feather. Yeah, looks fair price there. And I'm sure we can get some each way extra places in a race like this. I'm hoping so anyway, Brett Williams.
Of course you can, yeah. Four places a game.
Thank you.
Way. And as a Brucey bonus, if you back the second or the third, you're going to get your money back as cash. So four places, money back second or third, easy peasy. Good race, though, isn't it? I like this one. Marta Tor is the horse that I've sort of tentatively leaned towards. So it sort of his form tailed off a little bit sort of mid-end season, but sort of in the lead-up to winning this race last year, he hit a real rich vein of form. He's a three-time winner over course and distance. He's come down, I think, to quite, a certainly more workable mark anyway, obviously down to 141 as opposed to his last winning mark of 140. I mean, you don't see many Venetia Williams horses running at this time of year, especially on good ground, but this is one of those rare horses that does sort of handle a better surface. So for me, Marta Tor in what's an interesting little race. I like Lotus Sood. In fact, I'm sitting in the car park here at Stratford, Sam. This day, 12 months ago, Lotus Sood won his first run over fences here in a handicap. And that's actually last time he ran in a handicap. So he's back, down in grade, having been competing at a much higher level. So he's obviously interesting with Tristan Durrell taking a valuable £5 off his back. But no, I'm going to go for it. We love a bit of winning by Queen Venetia Williams. So Marta Tor for me in a race where, as I said, four places and money back second or third.
That's a busy weekend of action on ITV and Unibet with plenty of offers across the whole week. And do head over to the website for all the details there. Let's go to Down Royal for their big race. This is also being shown on the ITV card. The 240 there is the Champion Chase Grade 1 contest. And NYLN is the 7-4 favourite. Spillane Towers 9-4. Western Fold 9-2. Founder 50 11-2. Affordable Fury is 12-1, along with Stella Story. And then 200-1 shot. There's been plenty of them going and winning over the last 6 months or so. Flash Calonge is at the bottom of the market. Now, look, you've got the third from the Ryanair and NYLN at 7-4. You've got the second in the Punchestown Gold Cup last time out in Spillane's Tower. Last season, Johnny Pearson, we had the likes of NYLN, Hewick, Jerry Colomb, Delta Work in a race like this. Do we see this as a really good contest once again?
It looks a pretty decent race on paper, yeah. And I mean, you mentioned NYLN. He's won it twice in the last 3 years. Yeah. A race they target every season, he's going to be cherry ripe for it. And for, I think, 2-1 favourites a bit short, I'm not sure he's quite the horse he was. He's still very good on his day, and I think he'll run well. But I mean, Western Fold's obviously an improving horse. Founder 50, very good form in the book as well. But I think Spillane's Tower is, he's absolutely thumped by Gallop in the shots when he last seen. But on his form at the start of the season at Punch, he only ran three times last season. At second to Factor File at Punchestown last November, is up there with the best pieces of form of any of them in the race here. And I think provided he gets the 3 miles without any issues, and provided he's back to the horse that he was showing he was going to be, he's definitely the one I think has got the best chance of winning. And Spillane's Tower is going to be a bet for me here.
Yeah, Spillane's Tower, definitely the one that's got certainly more improvement in him. Harry Wilson, any agreement there or disagreement?
Yeah, I completely agree with Johnny. Dan Roy, I think, predicted about 26 mil of rain as well. So a horse who loves the mud. I can't really see him getting beat, to be honest.
Okay, two votes. This feels like the hat-trick horse of the weekend. It really does feel like it. And Brett Williams, go score that hat-trick for us.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with everything that Johnny and Harry have just said. You know, he's an improving horse. He's only 7 years old, as opposed to Envoy Allen, who's 11, shortly going to be turning 12. So there's much more improvement expected to come from Spillane's Tower. He gets the trip, which I think he probably will. You know, he's got some rock solid form. He hasn't won for what since Punches Down 24, but he's been very lightly raced since then. He's been non-runner on a few occasions as well. So he's, as I said, he's still a very lightly raced. And for me, what's a, you know, a good perennial, we could hopefully see him as emerge as perhaps a Gold Cup contender in March.
Yeah, let's hope.
Price boost. I've written it down. I've got to say it. Price boost in that race.
I was going to say, yeah, we haven't had the offer in that race yet, so we're waiting for that one. But there you go, price boost in the Dalmore World Championship.
I can't understand my writing. That's a problem. Can you understand this? You know, I've got. What does that mean? Oh, upside down.
There you go. Right, there is other action from Ascot and Dalmore. This time, Harry Wilson, it's up to you to give us those selections.
Yeah, I think the best bet on the entire Ascot card could be Alexi in the 3.10. He shaped incredibly well on his reappearance behind Celtic Dino in the Welsh Champion Hurdle. I just think he might have even finished closer to the winner had the winner not jumped badly at the last, which might sound really strange. But the winner took a really awful jump at the last and it sort of put Alexi off. And he lost his momentum and could only manage second. But this is a horse that I really liked last year. He finished fourth in what is a red hot listed race at Exeter in February. Runner up Regent Stroll, who went down narrowly in the Mersey at Aintree, and the third Julius de Picton has won the Sefton. It's a really strong piece of form, and I think Fingal Bridge, the winner of that race, just as an extra this year over fences. He's actually my horse to follow this season, if anyone's interested. So, yeah, Alexi, he's off the same mark as in the Welsh Champion Hurdle, even though he improved his RPR by £6. And I think he's got it all going for him.
There we go. Alexi, then, a round of 3-1 shot for the 3.10 at Ascot on Saturday. Joe Tizard and Brendan Powell there. After this short break, we are going to be getting some Breeders' Cup selections. But before then, we did have our official Race Post Breeders' Cup preview with Bloodhorse. Here's a quick clip of Callum Helliwell, who's on the show, talking about one of the hot favourites in the races this weekend.
How do we assess this race, Callum? I thought this was one of the trickier ones of the evening, if I'm honest.
She's the worst favourite on the entire weekend. She feels pretty. I cannot, for the life of me, understand why she's top of the market. She scrambled home to be the horse that she beat last time out, the other Godolphin horse.
Diamond Rain.
I mean, she was scrambling home to beat Diamond Rain. See the Fire's got far better form all the way through. I mean, look, she feels pretty with grade ones, but they're fillies only grade ones on the turf in the US. Let's not get overexcited about that too much. I think Cinderella's Dream, who got a stinker of a ride last time from William Buick, not last time, last year in this race last year. They rode her to get the trip. My goodness, she got the trip. She flew home down the fence, having been given far too much of a patient ride. If she gets a much more confident ride on this occasion, I think she's going to be really, really hard to beat. I know there's been a lot of talk about Bedtime Story, the horse who could potentially come from well off the speed and come through. But if you like her, you've got to like Jezora, who's beaten her twice. Then Stella Fire knows a key hope from the US. Will be front running. I'm a little bit concerned about just her going hard in front. I think she's just a stayer rather than she's not got that class or tactical speed that I'd want here. So Cinderella's Dream would be the pick to be. I couldn't run further from She Feels Pretty. I think she gets beat. I just run away from She Feels Pretty. She won't look pretty on Saturday night.
Sam Hart here alongside Johnny Pearson, Harry Wilson and Brett Williams. So the final part of this week's Racing Postcast brought to you by the Race Post, sponsored by Unibet. And yes, Callum, clearly not a fan of She Feels Pretty in that Breeders' Cup Fillies and Mares turf race. Breeders' Cup then, gents. Plenty of jumps action going on in Britain, but some real top quality flat action going on over the other side of the pond. And Johnny Pearson, I know you're a massive fan of the dirt racing and all of the top class flat action. So let's have a nap and the next best from you for the Breeders' Cup, mate.
The nap for the Breeders' Cup was originally going to be Sovereignty in the Classic, but he's now unfortunately not running. But we are going to stick with the Classic, and the nap's now going to be Sierra Leone. Came second last time. but don't read too much into that. There was a horse that came down. He ended up mile back. To actually finish second was a minor miracle in itself. He should be favourite, and yet he can still get 3-1 about him, which is fast, which is just amazing. So I'd snap that up if you can. And the next best is going to be a Charlie Appleby horse in the Fillies and Mares turf, but it's not Cinderella's Dream. It's going to be Diamond Rain. She was second behind She Feels Pretty last time, but she probably should have won the race.
Yeah,
and she looked really good on her two runs in the UK this season, both on reappearance at Haydock and then winning at Newmarket, a Newcastle even. And she's got a lot of upside. It's going to be, she's too big a price, basically. The fancy horse is going to be Gazora, Cinderella's Dream, See the Fire. Diamond Rain's going under the radar, and I really like her chances.
Okay, yeah, I agree with Diamond Rain. I'm a big fan of this horse. Probably one of my bets of the night, to be totally honest, is the Charlie Appleby second string. Harry Wilson, nap and the next best from you on Breeders' Cup night, please.
I think the best bet at Breeders' Cup has to be Notable Speech. He's taken a while to get going this season, but he has caught fire. How he didn't win the Jacques Lamar, I'm not quite sure, but he made up for that in the Woodbine Mile last time. He's well suited to American racing, and I can see him winning the mile. I think that's 11:05 on Saturday. And the next best, I'm going to take a punt on She's Quality. Horsey never wins, but I think this could be her day. I've been waiting for a 5-furlong quick. It didn't happen for her in the Nunthorpe for whatever reason. I think she was possibly on the wrong side. I just think she's going to pop up in one of these big races, and the sprint is a nightmare for punters, as we know, for our group races throughout the season. And I think she might just pop up at a nice price.
Yep, okay, can totally see it. And Brett Williams, as much as you're going to be probably at some jumps course in the pouring rain, cold as anything, you'll still have some sort of fancy out there in California.
Yeah, it's very much chalk and cheese, isn't it? I'll be up at Weatherby in probably 5-degree temperatures as opposed to Nick Luck, everybody else in Dalmar, where it's probably 30 degrees. It's a cracking couple of days, isn't it? I always look forward to it. I always sort of start off watching the first couple of races and think, right, I'll try and make it through to the last race of the night, and then sort of comes to about 1 o'clock and I fall asleep. But you can catch it all on Twitter the next morning, so it's a lot easier. Now, I'm looking forward to seeing Gestad, I think, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. You know, he was obviously very smart at the start of the season when he won the Coventry. Then, of course, you've got Minnie Hawk, who's in the Breeders' Cup Turf. She's taken on Rebel's Romance, who's just been a revelation for Godolphin, hasn't he? Minnie Hawk as well, ran a cracker in the Arc, so she's odds on, quite understandably, but you know, I think she probably sets a standard. And then as John has already alluded to, you've got Sierra Leone and Fierceness, Renew and Rivalry once again, having filled the first and second spots in the Classic 12 months ago. So that's sort of on the horse racing front. And then you look at the human front, and then we wave goodbye to Frank Gattori for about the 10th time this year.
Again, yeah, Frankie Vittori announcing a retirement once again.
It's going to go ride in Brazil, isn't he, or somewhere like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, but I don't know, Brett. Do you think we'll actually see like a little bit of money for a few of his horses now in the expectation that he's probably likely to ride a winner on that night?
Yeah, I think there will be a lot of money for him, perhaps for maybe people's hearts ruling their heads. So he rides Wimbledon Hawkeye, doesn't he, I think, for James Owen. So that could be quite an interesting mate for him. Of course, he went on him last time. But there will be a lot of people just putting their dollars down on Frankie, hoping he can ride a winner in America on Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, 100%. I can totally see it. I'm waiting to see the Frankie dismount. I'm sure we may be seeing one on Saturday night, so we'll wait and see there. Before we get the naps, there's one more thing to mention. Is we spoke about Unibet's sponsorship of races. The Unibet Greatwood Hurdle is coming up. I love Unibet for anti-post bets, and they have so many different markets out. I'm actually having a look at the French 2000 Guineas market that Unibet, the only ones priced out with. I'm a big fan of Puerto Rico in that, so I will have to have a few quid on this horse. But the Greatwood Hurdle, Brett, the Unibet Greatwood Hurdle comes. The entries come out on Monday. Just tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, so yeah, they came out on Monday, 33 of them. On entries, looks to be, could be a very competitive race. Nicky Henderson's got a couple entered, Joyous and Iberico Lord, of course, Iberico Lord, a previous winner. Those two are both going to go over fences this season, so I wouldn't be sort of getting too much involved on those. Celtic Dino just head the market though at around 10-1, and we have seen support for him as soon as entries came out. Of course, Celtic Dino for Sam Thomas and Di Walters was a very impressive winner of the Welsh Champion Hurdle a couple of weeks ago at Chepstow. So he he's our market at 10-1. Wheel Falls there as well at 14s. Stick to the Plan, who won the Persian War at Chepstow. He's in there for Ollie Murphy. Give It To Me OJ, a winner at Cheltenham last time. He's in there as well at around 16-1. So no, it's going to be 2 weeks on Sunday, this race, the 16th of November, so 33 entries. That will be whittled down. But no, as I said, go on to Unibet and have a look at what we've got to offer on that race.
Absolutely, yeah, look out for that there. Right, now time to get the best bets then, gents, for this week. And like I said, there's plenty of action going on. I'm just going to kick things off. I think that Protectorat is going to go and win the Charlie Hill at 257 at Weatherby on Saturday. Johnny's mentioned already, but I do think the form of this horse is just stronger than anything else in the field. I think the second mile John Bonnet entry is as strong as it gets. I think 85 to 40 is a really fair price for that horse. Harry Wilson, your nap, please.
Yeah, we're going to head to Ascot for the 3-10 and go with Alexi. The form behind Celtic Dino, I think, is going to work out really well. He came from a lot further back than the first and the third. He's off an unchanged mark, even though he improved for the run. And I think he's got a massive chance.
I'm getting the Harry Wilson twinkle in the eye there for this horse. I've got a feeling he really does like this horse. So it's Alexi for Harry Wilson. Johnny Pearson, please.
Well, there's a couple I like down in Australia, but I'll save you the bore of that here. And instead, we're going to go to 240 at Down Royal, and it will be Spillane's Tower.
Spillane's Tower then for John and Brett Williams, please.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Martyr in the 205 at Ascot. Won the race last year off just a pound higher mark. He's come nicely down the weights. Three-time course and distance winner at Ascot. Likes good ground. Plenty of ticks in the right boxes. So Martyr for me in a race where we are paying four places each way and money back as cash if you back the second or the third.
So there we go. There are naps on screen now. You can go over to unibet.co.uk. You can get all the boosts there and all the offers that Brett mentioned during the show. So do head to the Unibet website for all of those. Don't worry, Johnny. I can give you a plug for your content here, but I'm here to plug some of the content we've got. We've got our short form content on the YouTube channel. You can check out the punting passport that we now have coming out that gives all the international guide. And Johnny will give some tips for the Australian racing. Do head over and check that out. Don't worry, mate. I've got you. Right, big thanks to the panel, as always, Johnny Pearson, Harry Wilson, and of course, subbing in Fred Nixon, Brett Williams, who is about to get out of his car and go watch racing at Stratford. So best of luck to him. But yeah, all the offers on unibet.co.uk. Thanks very much for watching. Do remember to gamble responsibly. Like, comment, share, and subscribe, and we will see you again next Thursday for another Racing Postcast.